Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is a verse that many of you already know. It says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Amen. You may have said or prayed, "Lord, tell me what your will is for my life." Well, I just gave you one thing that you can stand on for sure. For those of you that are listening and watching online, or we're just pausing here to see if anybody is awake enough to say amen to the fact that He has told us it is His will that we would give thanks. Amen. Brendan Manning, in an article in Christianity Today, said, "I believe that the real difference in American church is not between conservatives and liberals, fundamentalists and charismatics, or Republican or Democrat. The real difference is between the aware and the unaware. When somebody is aware of the love that the Father has for Jesus, that person is spontaneously grateful. Cries of thankfulness become the dominant characteristic of the interior life. And the byproduct of gratitude is joy. We're not joyful and then grateful. We're grateful and that makes us joyful." Amen. I know that this is going to be painful, what I'm about to ask, but would you smile at me? It's an old dreary day. Just a smile on your face, it just puts some sunshine in my life. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, a mother and her son were living out in the woods, just the two of them, and a tornado came through, and their house, well, they knew that it would not stand, and so she ran outside and grabbed a hold of a tree and tucked her son in underneath her and was holding on, and sure enough, that tornado came and just began to wreak havoc. And before she knew it, her son goes up in the tornado, and she is just devastated. She cries out, "Please, Lord, please bring back my boy. He's all that I have. I'll do anything not to lose him. If you'll bring him back, I'll serve," you've probably heard this before, "I'll serve you for the rest of my life." Suddenly, the boy toppled from the sky and fell right at her feet. And he was a bit messed up, but he was okay. His mother brushed him off and checked him all over and then looked up at the sky and said, "Well, Lord," he was wearing a hat. Really, isn't that us? On this Thanksgiving Sunday, I want to look at what the Bible says are the reactions, if you will, of thanks that we can give to the Lord. Now, this is not an exhaustive message. I've left plenty of room to come back another time. But I just want to give you a couple of them this morning. Could I do that? And I don't know why you turned the... Why did we turn the lights off here? I went to all the work. And for some reason, it looks like it shrank. Okay. Thanksgiving. Now, I just want to tell you this morning that I did a lot of work in preparing this PowerPoint. And I took some of the shots of my favorite places on earth to put behind them. So I would just say enjoy, as you see the words up here, that you would enjoy the pictures also. Okay? This is one of the finest places on earth. It is called Coachella Valley in Southern California. And, that's where my son and daughter-in-law are at, and five of my grandchildren. You can almost see them in the picture. But our subject this morning is give thanks. As I said, I just want to give you a little bit of a taste of some things that are in Scripture, and maybe challenge us just a little bit on how we thank the Lord. The first one is really found in Leviticus chapter 3 and 7. And this first picture talks about a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now that is St. Petersburg, Florida. Just let me pause here for a moment and project myself there. praise the Lord. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. The thank offering was also called in Scripture a peace offering and a fellowship offering. The general facts of it were like this. It was a voluntary offering. Now, kind of make note of these, because this sacrifice of thanks, this sacrifice of praise that you and I offer should have these elements in them as well. A voluntary offering. You should not have to have somebody tell you to be thankful. I almost think that it is that we negate any real degree of thankfulness when somebody says, okay, now, what do you have something to be thankful for? Okay, tell me, what could it possibly be? And you sit there, and finally squirt out a little, well, I'm thankful for my home. Huh? I believe when we lose the voluntary part of this, we've lost a lot. Now, a male or a female sacrifice was permitted. Praise the Lord, ladies and men. In other words, the Lord will accept an offering from a woman or a man, or an offering of thanks from a woman or man. Everybody that's thankful for that, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now it's going to get a little more difficult, because he said it will be an animal without spot or blemish. In other words, there needs to be a purification. There needs to be a qualification here, that you don't just run out of the midst of your sin and proclaim thanks to the Lord, but rather there is a purification process that needs to take place. Now this one you'll especially love, and that is that the offering was slain at the door. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Here's some specific facts. In the sacrifice of the Old Testament, it was one unleavened cake mingled with oil. It was one wafer unleavened anointed with oil. Several cakes, kind of like pancakes, if you will, and one loaf of bread with leaven. Now, that was under the sacrificial system of the nation of Israel. Most all of this was fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus. However, there are things that we can learn about God in the Old Testament system. I know some of you, you don't even carry an Old Testament. It's just the New Testament. That's the law. That's the Old Testament. Listen, you can learn about what God expects of His people from the Old Testament. We just lean into the sacrifice of Jesus for the purification part. But we still need to lean in. I think that the point that comes forth here from the sacrifice in this particular unleavened cakes, One wafer with unleavened, anointed with oil. One with mingled with oil. Several cakes like pancakes. One loaf of bread with leaven. You know, it's like, whoa. Don't give the Lord cheap thanks. Can you take that from that? Realize that it should involve some thinking. It should involve some engagement of your life to actually reckon with the things that you're thankful for. Maybe in terms of even setting for a few moments and writing down, oh my goodness, not texting the Lord. I don't think he's on the internet. I hope not, the way some Christians act up on there. But nevertheless, sit down and write out some things that you are thankful for. Going to the depth, going to the being specific, because the Lord accepts thanks that is specific. Let's just take for a moment your home. Lord, thank you for my home. I'm very thankful for my home. But why? Why am I thankful for my home? Lord, I'm thankful that on a rainy day that I'm not having to stand outside. I'm thankful that at night I can get down into a comfortable bed and pull up the sheets and the cover and snuggle into a my pillow. It is my pillow. Oh, you see what I'm saying, though? To actually put some thought, to actually, see, when these people brought, when the nation of Israel were to bring a thank offering to the Lord, he says, I want you to put some effort into it. Put some thought into it. Make it something more than just casual. I guarantee you, when they walked up to the door of the temple and the priest said, now place your hand on the head of this animal, and they placed their hand on the head of their best animal, and then he took the knife and slit the throat of that animal, that they had their full attention was on that moment. And before they left their house, and the ladies are baking those breads, specifically the way that the Lord told them to, each one, and probably one of the kids would have been charged with, come on, little Johnny, you bring along this bread, and here, you bring along the drink offering, and we're going to the temple to give thanks. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning, church? Some effort in our thanks. I've told you, and I will tell you over and over again, that as you come to the Lord with your sin, be specific. That's not because of God doesn't know. God knows everything. He knows all about your sin. But the healing that comes in your and my life, that transformation comes as we get specific. And the same thing will be true as we give that thanks of praise offering to the Lord. A sacrifice of thanks. Let me just take one more step in this, and that is, this animal was broken into three portions, and each one of them carries so much symbolism. The first portion was the part that was consumed on the altar. All the fat, two kidneys, and other inner parts. It says the priest shall burn them on the altar. It represents the surrender and commitment. Now remember, this was not a sin offering. This was an offering of thanks that God ordained. As I said before, as you come to bring your thanks to the Lord, begin at the altar of sacrifice. Place before Him the sins of your life. Confess. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus paid an incredible debt. You see, here's what's going to happen if you actually take this to heart. You come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I want to give you an offering of thanks this morning, but I need to begin with laying once again my sinful life before you. And I take hold of the sacrifice that you gave me. And if you really think about it, if you really have that in your heart, look out, because your first moments of praise and thanks are going to be for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers over your sins. Anybody in here saved? Squeak out a praise now and then. The second portion. I like this portion. It was a portion that was shared with God. One cake and the breast of the animal and the right shoulder were given to the priest, and he waved them before the Lord. It was the portion given to the Lord. And the beauty of that was the Lord gave that then to the priest. So they were able to take and carry that to feed their families. That was nice of God, wasn't it? I'm not going to get an amen out of some of you, no matter what I say. $1 million for everybody. Amen. Let me get to the last part. You'll like this. The last part, all the rest of that lamb was given back to the person who brought that lamb for praise and thanks. It was called the communal portion. And they were encouraged to take it back to their home or to their village and to invite the rabbi from their synagogue to come and have dinner with them. And they were to eat all of it. And if any was left over, they were to burn it up completely. That was for their safety. But this, the beauty of this, see, we're going to kind of sit down and have that communal portion next Thursday. How many are planning to eat next Thursday? Yeah. I heard that they were out of turkey, so I stopped at JC this morning early and went in there. And really, there's only just a few, but I got a nice big old bird. He's doomed. Doomed for consumption. We don't do a lamb, we're doing the turkey. But the Lord, in His love for us, even as we give Him thanks, He's giving back to us the greater portion. My goodness. Even as we're thanking Him for what He has done for us, He has arranged this that the greater blessing, the greater portion will come back to us. Goodness. I mean, who wouldn't want to serve God like that? I don't understand it. Well, let's look at this next portion. Verbal expressions of thanks. We understand this, right? I don't need to talk a great deal about this, but you know, Psalm 107:21 says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and wonderful deeds for men. Let them offer thank offerings." That's what we were just talking about. "And tell of His works with songs of joy." Hallelujah. Do you realize that words of thanks should not be whispered? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise Him. Isn't that what it says? And anything that has breath, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I am convinced, church, that this place should be a noisy place. When the body of Christ gets together, if we're really, truly believers, now if we're just pretending and going through the motions, that's something else. But if we're really, truly believers and have that realization, like I talked to you, read to you in the very beginning about that Brennan's article, you know, where he said, you know, that this should be a reflection of who we are. Our thanks, our praise should be a reflection of who we are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I appreciate you. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. I was a sinner. Now I'm not. With your blood, I am forgiven. Oh, hallelujah for the cross. Hey, listen, we're giving you the opportunity to open your mouth in thanksgiving and praise and not even be embarrassed about it because we put music behind it. That's incredible. But there should be a spontaneous exclamation that comes. You say, well, I'm very backward. Well, go out in a field where nobody else is around, or out into a woods where nobody else is around. You won't scare the deer. And just let it rip. The psalmist here gives two examples of things to be thankful for. The first is for his unfailing love. Well, you know, things aren't going so well. I don't have a lot to be thankful for right now. Yeah, you do. His unfailing love. And you know what? You're counting on it. You know how I know you're counting on it? Because you're planning to go to heaven. And you know what? You can't go to heaven unless Jesus' blood is covering your life. You need Him. On the day that the last breath fills your lungs and you exhale it out of your body, you're going to want to have a close, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus and His unfailing love. When we get to heaven and we're standing before that judgment bar, we're going to count on the fact that He is a merciful and gracious Lord Jesus. And that His blood is sufficient to cover all of our failings. I've got a feeling that when we come up to that point in time and the books are open and all is revealed, I don't know how all that's going to work out, but I've got a feeling that everything that we have lived in our life is going to be before our eyes to where we have a full understanding of what has taken place and what is happening now. And we're going to be so pleased when they open up the book and our name is written down. Some of you that will not say amen in this place for nothing, I got a feeling are going to go, yes. You might even say, praise you, Jesus. Huh? My Bible says that when we're gathered around the throne, it's going to be noisy. The saints who really know the Lord and are glad to be there are going to be lifting up the resound of song and praise before the Lord. And the angels are going to join in, and all of heaven is going to erupt in a spontaneously planned event where we get to praise the Lord out loud. Hallelujah! Let me show you the importance of this. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Oh wait, that's not the right one. I'm in the wrong chapter. Let me back up. Now on his way to Jerusalem. How's that? Jesus, I do those things just so you can know I make mistakes. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, one of them When he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Listen to what Jesus said. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one turned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Folk, I don't know about you, I want to be the one out of the 10 who turns back and says, thank you, Jesus. Whether it was just to give me a good day or whether I just made it through the day, or whether there were stacks and stacks of blessings that I can hardly count them all. Wish to sing about that. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Huh? Man by the name of Sir Moses Montefiore, the Jewish philanthropist, had a motto in his family. It went like this. Think and thank. In the old Anglo-Saxon, thankfulness means thankfulness. Perhaps we need a little bit more thankfulness so that we could have more thankfulness. Take some time this week, church, to think about the blessings of the Lord. Lastly, let's get the last one here. The condition of thankfulness. This one may surprise you a little bit because I'm summing up a truth that the Lord has put into my heart. The last picture of thanks in Scripture is the condition of thankfulness. And I'll sum it with one word, contentment. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. Paul said, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And you know what he follows it with? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul begins his statement with a recognition of the gift that he received. Very thankful to the church for remembering him. He thanks them for their concern. He thanks them for their continual concern. At times had a lack in being able to show it, and now they have shown it. He goes on in verse number 14, he says, it was good of you to share in my troubles. He said, thank you. But what he did want them to realize was that whether their blessing came to him or didn't come to him, that he lived thankful to the Lord. He had learned. It's not something you're going to walk on the first day of your journey with the Lord, but I pray this over you as you mature in your Christian life, that you would come to a place of thankfulness that allows contentment. That it is not the next thing that God will do for you, it's not the fulfillment of your bucket list, but rather it is what he has already done that makes our lives complete. After he has saved us, anything else he does for us is like icing, real thick, delicious, cream cheese icing on top of the cake. Amen? It's a slice of homegrown, delicious, ripe tomato on a sandwich. How am I doing? Making you hungry? It's cool. I love to mess with you a little bit. But you know what, folks? We need to get our brain involved in this. And realize that every good and perfect gift has come from the Father above. He rains it down upon us. We are His children. And He has made a covenant to take care of us. You say, oh, but I have need in this area. I have need in this area. No doubt. But if you will look to the things that really matter, you will find a contentment that surpasses every need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I don't offer this morning to anybody to copy, but just by way of illustration, where the Spirit of the Lord is taking me, as illness takes hold of my body, whether it be a sore back or whatever it may be, nausea, whatever, I'm finding myself more and more saying, Lord, I'm yours. Let me learn what I need to learn. But I know you're going to walk through this, however long the journey. You're with me. Because you know what's in my mind and in my heart? I do not want the enemy of my life, the enemy of my soul, to get 1 ounce of praise for anything that is happening in my life. Now, I can't put that off on you. I can't say that's what you should do. I'm just telling you of where I am at, because I am searching in my life for what the Apostle Paul said right there. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, and I'm chasing that. Whether it's a good day or a bad day, whether it's raining outside or the sun is shining, whether it's 70 degrees or 30 below, that's not where my life lies. My rest is a Sabbath rest in the Lord Jesus. I'm watching as folks, dear folks that I know Jesus, but are getting all messed up in their thinking over whether God loves them because they're going through some circumstances. I can tell you today, without any drawing back, He loves you. Amen. He sent Jesus to redeem you. And if you will lay your sins before Jesus, He will forgive those sins. If you will allow Him, He will give you joy and peace and comfort like you will never know without Him. But learning to trust Him through the difficult winds of life will be one of the greatest expressions of thanks that you could ever give. To simply say, Lord, You've got this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I just wrote this down. How quickly we turn from Thanksgiving to Christmas. From being thankful for what we already have to making a list of what we want. Perhaps we need to slow that down a little bit. Let me finish with a poem. Everybody loves a poem. I like that shot. If you could see it, that's Los Angeles looking out over the Pacific Ocean. As the trees shake off their leaves and lift their branches to heaven, so my soul sheds its cares and its thoughts of the world and reaches up to thee in adoration. As geese flying southward before the winter wind seek the warmth of the sun, so my soul flies to the warmth of thy love. As the black bulbs lie in the warmth of the earth awaiting the spring, so do I rest in thy love and thy law, awaiting thy bidding to service. As the harvest is gathered into the barns against the winter, so my soul is gathered thy bounty and thy provisions. Therefore will I praise thee and will offer thanks in thy sanctuary. Every day I will bless thy holy name and sing a hymn of praise. I will thank thee for Jesus, thy Son, my Savior. Sacrifices of thanks are still accepted by our Lord. Verbal expressions of thanks are still spiritually in vogue. Finding a lasting contentment in the Lord is the ultimate thanksgiving. Can I challenge you, folks? As we once again step into all the blessings of our lives, as we gather with family, friends, as we enjoy bountiful feasts, maybe just take a few moments to stop and really apply ourselves to being thankful.